Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is May 29, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Visa warns to discontinue payments services for gambling websites in Germany. UPS adds delivery surcharges due to increased shipping amid COVID-19. Kuaisho and JD.com partner for livestream e-commerce. Google to secure voice purchases via voice match feature. Presto launches free contactless dining kit for restaurants. Visa, MasterCard request RBI relaxation on Tap and Go payment limit. DHL Express acquires stake in Link Commerce. B2B payments, financing-led week's fintech funding. SMBs explore financing options for their digital transformations. Optimizing contractor payments and productivity for a flexible workforce. Now let's get started. Visa warns to discontinue payments services for gambling websites in Germany. Visa has told all of its banks and payment processor partners in Germany that it will discontinue its payments services to and from illegal online gambling websites. According to the Third Amendment of the State Treaty on Gambling, online gambling in most of its forms in Germany is illegal, with the exception of sports betting and the state-run lotteries, as well as within the geographic constraints of the Schleswig-Holstein province where there is a special law that allows it. Most of the offshore casino operators already reacted to the warning by Visa, removing the deposit and withdrawal option from their payment methods. Two of such companies are Tipico and Bwin. Tipico has removed the Visa logo from its website, while Bwin states that the Visa payment is only accepted for sports betting. UPS adds delivery surcharges due to increased shipping amid COVID-19. UPS has announced adding delivery surcharges on U.S. e-commerce companies that have submerged its delivery network with shipments. According to Reuters, starting from 31 May 2020, UPS will add surcharges on U.S. e-commerce companies that have flooded its delivery network with shipments since the COVID-19 pandemic. Such fees are common during the winter holiday season when package volumes double. Accordingly, shifting to online shopping resulted in what many call a second Christmas for companies like UPS, FedEx, and Amazon. Therefore, the new fees are likely to affect large, high-volume shippers along with companies that send oversized items, and may drive up costs at a time when many retailers are fighting to shelter profits. Moreover, since the beginning of the pandemic, home deliveries surged more and more, with 70% shipments being made in April 2020 versus around 50% previously, thus resulting in UPS raising the costs. Kuaisho and JD.com partner for livestream e-commerce. Video app Kuaisho and JD.com have teamed up to advance consumers a new way of buying via live streaming. Kuaisho's users will be able to purchase goods from JD.com through live streaming shows within the short video app, without transferring to JD.com's platform to pay, thus facilitating the shopping experience. JD.com is implementing this partnership a few days before the beginning of its annual 618 shopping festival, the company's own Black Friday, to be held on June 18, 2020. Kuaisho, as the second largest short video app behind Douyin with over 300 million daily active users, Douse, will benefit from the cooperation with JD.com. The company has set an annual target to sell merchandise worth US$35.2 billion in 2020 via livestreamers on its platform. JD.com CEO Xu Lei said that in the midst of the challenges and opportunities from the retail industry, the partnership with Kuaishou will bring a more diverse shopping experience for buyers. Google to secure voice purchases via voice match feature. Google has launched a pilot program for voice match, a new voice confirmation feature for purchases made in Assistant. According to E-Commerce Times, currently the feature is available only for a select number of US-based users, via in-app digital purchases on Google Play and purchases from restaurants that enable food ordering through Google, with limitations on the maximum amount per transaction, and on the total number of daily transactions allowed. Moreover, for security reasons, users must re-authorize their Google account when enabling voice match purchasing. Additionally, voice match may help retailers, while keeping the social distance, as Google introduced in April 2020 ways to get personalized results on Google Assistant-powered devices for up to 6 users, facilitating contactless commerce via devices such as home speakers, cars, and office buildings. Besides, thanks to its accuracy, voice match can differentiate between British English, Canadian English, American English and even Singaporean English, the company's officials stated. Presto launches free contactless dining kit for restaurants. US-based restaurant technology platform Presto has launched a free contactless dining kit for every restaurant, no matter the size and configuration. According to the press release, the free contactless dining kit offers a contactless menu display, ordering, and payment technology solutions, allowing guests to use their personal mobile devices to scan NFC tags and QR codes at restaurants to view the complete menu, place orders, and pay contactless with their phone at the table without the need for touching any foreign surface or any contact with people outside of their dining party. In addition, guests can check in online using their smartphone, view wait time estimates in real time, and get an alert when their table is ready. The Presto system also integrates loyalty programs and enables an in-restaurant digital personalization experience. Moreover, Presto is tracking state and local regulations to make sure that the kit helps restaurants comply with local guidelines for minimizing human contact and maximizing social distancing. Visa, MasterCard request RBI relaxation on Tap and Go payment limit. Visa, MasterCard, and Industry Body Payment Council of India (PCI) have requested the Reserve Bank of India (RBI) relaxation on Tap and Go contactless payment limit. According to Inc. 42, currently, a person can make contactless payments worth approximately US$26 through the Tap and Go feature, any transaction above that requires a PIN number. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, financial services wish the limit to be relaxed around US$66 to eliminate the requirement of handing over cards, while avoiding touching the swipe machine for a larger base of transactions, thus increasing the adoption of contactless payments. Therefore, Visa and MasterCard suggested alternatives like relaxing the limit to US$40 or a temporary relaxation for 6 months. Besides, Visa reported that several authorities, banks and networks in over 55 countries around the world including Europe, the UK, ME, and SA have already set higher transaction limits for contactless card payments, shifts made for supporting banks in their efforts to push digital transactions in a post-COVID-19 era. In April 2020, the RBI had given green signal for Visa, MasterCard and the National Corporation of India (NCPI) to allow Tap and Go functionality on card payments, even for purchases above US$26. However, the financial service providers had to activate a two-factor authentication process, which required a PIN number for transactions above US$26, meaning that at the moment, it depends on banks and payment participants to bring changes to the payments infrastructure, Inc. 42 reported. DHL Express acquires stake in Link Commerce. DHL Express has announced it acquired a stake in the UK-based e-commerce company Link Commerce to cement its commitment to the African e-commerce space. According to Africa News, the acquisition supports the company's commitment to growing e-commerce on the continent by expanding its e-commerce platform, DHL Africa eShop. Moreover, the platform, which currently lives in 34 countries across SSA, offers African consumers access to international retailers and enables them to shop directly from over 200 US and UK-based online retailers, with purchases delivered directly to their door. Furthermore, since the consumers have turned to online shopping to acquire the goods they need, their interests have shifted towards goods that are harder to source locally, while delivery assurance has also become a top priority. Basket sizes have also increased, as shoppers seek to get all of what they need immediately, rather than to space out their orders. Although the e-commerce market in SSA has been largely overlooked by international retailers in the past, it currently offers some opportunities for global trade growth in the world. Accordingly, a report published by Research and Markets forecasts that Africa's online retail market will reach an 11-digit dollar value in 2020, while another report by the McKinsey Global Institute estimates that this value could potentially reach $75 billion United States dollars by 2025, Africa News stated. B2B payments, financing-led weeks fintech funding. The B2B fintech startup community continues to wade through market disruption with a relatively strong show of support from venture capitalists, despite an overall decline in VC funding across verticals. More is likely on the way, too. As reported by Fortune this week, UBS Group is planning to establish a new venture capital fund to target corporate fintech startups and companies looking to disrupt the traditional banking arena. UBS is setting aside hundreds of millions of dollars for the fund, and the bank plans to place between $10 million and $20 million in its investment targets. An unnamed source told the publication that UBS would hold stakes in these companies for at least 5 years, though details of the initiative are not yet finalized. UBS wants to further engage with and support fintech firms, said UBS Group Chief Information Officer Mike Dargan. The new venture investment portfolio is a next step to accelerate our innovation and digitization efforts. In the meantime, B2B investors continue to support growth of the industry. This week's B2B Venture Capital Roundup takes a look at the more than $48 million placed with startups that seek to connect businesses with capital and keep B2B payments flowing through supply chains. Mati. Mexico-based Mati, a payments cybersecurity startup, raised an undisclosed seed investment with equity provided from Sparrow Ventures, while Kima Ventures, Dorm Room Fund and Blackhorn Ventures also participated. Mati, which first formed in California, is focusing on the Latin American market with expansion into Brazil and Colombia, the company noted, according to Contexto reports. These countries have the highest payment fraud rates in the world, which makes their identity issues the most interesting, the firm's co-founder Philip Victor told the publication. As it expands, the company plans to use the funding to bolster its cybersecurity product. Suryodaya Small Finance Bank. India's Suryodaya Small Finance Bank has announced an $8.2 million private equity fundraise this week led by Gaja Capital, while Kotak Mahindra Life Company and Loke Capital, among others, also participated, according to a recent TechGraph report. Suryodaya targets small and medium-sized businesses with lending services and other banking products. In a statement, the firm's co-founder and CEO R. Bhaskar Babu said the investment comes in just as we started re-engineering our business processes and digitizing them, including our microfinance vertical, so this is a strong backing to pursue our plans. TIS, also known as Treasury Intelligence Solutions, is a Germany-based fintech startup that offers corporates a B2B payments and cash flow management solution. According to a press release, TIS recently secured $20 million led by Aquiline Technology Growth, while 83 North, Target Partners and Zobito also participated. The investment will go toward accelerating product development and expansion throughout Europe and the US, TIS said. Funbox. Its extended Series C funding round has brought Funbox $20 million in additional equity, the company told PYMNTS in a recent interview. With nearly $200 million in total investment raised, the company will continue to expand its presence in the B2B finance and payments space following the success of its recently launched Funbox Pay. MUFG Innovation Partners led the round. Speaking with Karen Webster, Funbox founder and CEO Ayal Shinar said the pandemic's global market disruption has heightened the need for financial technologies that sit between B2B buyers and suppliers along the supply chain. According to Shinar, the company's investments in technologies like machine learning, real-time data analytics, and automated credit management enable it to streamline the B2B payment process in a way that minimizes the probability of a disaster scenario. SMBs explore financing options for their digital transformations. Access to capital for small to medium-sized businesses, SMBs, has always been vital, as well as a challenge. Borrowers don't always have a consistent experience in their hunt for financing, either. In some cases, when a traditional bank shuts the door on an SMB applicant, a business owner may not know where else to turn for capital. In other scenarios, an SMB may be overwhelmed with a plethora of loan products, each designed for different purposes with unique requirements and costs. In today's market, growing availability of government aid has helped many SMBs, yet also lifted the curtain for many entrepreneurs about just how confusing, opaque, and limiting certain financing arrangements can be. For SMB owners facing a cash flow crunch that coincides with the need to invest in modern equipment and technology as part of their digital transformations, equipment financing may be an appropriate option. Mike Jones, president of business capital at CIT Group, recently told PYMNTS about the opportunity to combine the equipment financing model with another financing tool typically reserved for consumers and how this strategy can ease SMBs into their much-needed modernization efforts without breaking the bank. Financing modernization. With SMBs facing greater pressure to modernize, investment in technology, everything from cutting-edge machinery to new laptops, is a must. But the price tag is rarely painless. When it comes to investing in technology, there are many reasons why a business may want to finance technology rather than pay in full at the time of purchase, Jones said. He pointed to the need for SMBs to remain competitive and provide consumers a best-in-class end-user experience that can often only be achieved with modern technology. Rather than procure an item outright, there are advantages to obtaining equipment financing to secure the technologies SMBs need. In some cases, tax advantages may be available. Financing also enables small firms to obtain equipment without making a dent in the lifeline of a bank line of credit. According to Jones, there is another advantage of equipment financing through merging the model with another financing solution, point-of-sale (POS) financing. CIT's own POS equipment financing offering enables SMBs to finance their purchases of $2,500 or more, merging the convenience of consumer-facing POS financing with the high-value transactions typically associated with SMB purchases. By streamlining the product search, credit approval, terms management, and electronic documentation process, POS equipment financing eases the friction of making a big purchase while maintaining healthy cash flow. On the vendor side, meanwhile, Jones noted that there are similar benefits to the POS financing models seen in the B2C commerce space. In addition to promoting flexibility for shoppers, the technology can integrate directly into back-office platforms like their B2B e-commerce portals and other sales channels. When cash flow is tight, enabling an SMB to pay over time for high-value equipment can be the difference between a sale and a lost customer. Balancing cash flow with tech investments. The global pandemic has created a unique predicament for many SMBs. Closed shops and depressed customer demand mean cash flow is tight for Main Street, and large-scale investments are, for many, entirely off the table. At the same time, however, in order to keep business moving, many SMBs have been forced to suddenly migrate online, digitize, and support an employee base that's working from home. This fast-tracked digital transformation means heavy investments in expensive technologies, like laptops for remote workers or new equipment that can support a shift in business model. While it's not a new concept, the current business climate highlights just how important it can be to have technology-enabled capabilities, Jones said. Businesses that can serve customers online and around the clock are often better positioned than those that rely exclusively on walk-in customers or non-digital methods. Being able to finance those technologies means preserving vital cash flow, with fixed monthly repayments often far more manageable than purchasing an item at once, he noted, adding that opportunities to introduce buyout provisions within an equipment financing arrangement can also open up favorable avenues to ownership. In tumultuous times, investments often fall by the wayside. But for SMBs that have no choice but to digitize to continue operating and to invest in the technologies that will enable that modernization push, establishing a financial strategy to adopt new technologies will be essential to survival. Now, more than ever, cash reserves are important, said Jones. Financing preserves working capital to be used for other needs that cannot be financed in many cases. The value of conserving and having ready access to cash can be much more significant than whatever finance charge is associated with borrowing. Optimizing contractor payments and productivity for a flexible workforce. Late B2B payments continue to plague suppliers large and small throughout the supply chain, but it's not just companies that are struggling to get paid on time. In the craft labor arena, contractors, too, face the threat of late and delayed payments. Yet while much of the late payments discussion centers around the controversial tactic among corporate payers to hold onto capital as long as possible by deliberately delaying accounts payable, in industries like oil and gas and other heavy industries, delayed payments to contractors are more often the result of legacy processes adding friction at multiple points, from contract compliance to accounts payable, AP. Accelerating payments to contractors is an undertaking that requires a modernization push, according to Management Control's Senior Vice President of Insights and Analytics Mark Rivers. In a recent conversation with PYMNTS, Rivers explored the opportunity of data analytics to ensure timely payments to contractors and the ability for such technology to introduce added value to the companies that procure a contractor workforce at a time when permanent staff remains a questionable talent strategy. Contractor compensation. Late payments to contractors in the construction industry is a particularly prominent focus for advocates of timely contractor payments. But in other craft labor markets like the oil and gas, chemicals, mining and others markets upon which Management Controls focuses, contractor payments face similar hurdles. This issue is more a matter of legacy technology, said Rivers, rather than poor cash flow management tactics. They're using a 19th-century tool process for what we can solve with 21st-century digitization, he said. In my mind, late payments isn't a matter of people wanting to hold onto the money. Traditionally, contractors manually fill out timesheets that must be submitted to a supervisor in the field. That supervisor then produces an invoice for the time worked by a contractor, with the AP department then making the payment. Based on paper spreadsheets and manual data entry, it's a workflow with plenty of opportunity for error, both intentional and unintentional. For contract hirers, automation technology can be particularly valuable to nixing paper from this process and accelerating the payment cycle. But as Rivers explained, data analytics can enable companies to go a step further to add value beyond timely contractor payments. Beyond timely payments, Management Controls recently introduced its Insights as a Service offering, a tool that uses the company's data pool from clients to assess productivity and costs of a company's contractor base. When it comes to contractor payments, analytics are not only important to ensuring professionals are paid on time, but also to ensure they're paid accurately according to contract guidelines. As Rivers explained, manual processes often fail to ensure contracts are in compliance, meaning contractors may abuse overtime pay opportunities or receive compensation for moments while off the job. A lot of contract terms say a company won't pay for a lunch break, he offered as an example. But typically, that's never excluded from the manual timesheet, so procurement has written contracts that have been agreed to by both parties but are never enforced. Other hidden costs for contract hirers can come in the form of securing too many contractors from a supplier, yet not realizing it until it's too late to send someone home. The nuances of contract agreements, including whether one contractor should be paid overtime for working more than 8 hours in a single day, versus another contractor that should be paid overtime only for working more than 40 hours in a week, are also difficult to address via manual processes. Through data analytics, the contractor payment process is optimized, with value-added opportunity to assess productivity and return on investment, ROI. Flexibility for the future. In the immediate impact of the coronavirus, Rivers said that clients of management controls saw a dip in contractor hiring and payments. There is evidence, however, that it is beginning to recover. As corporates begin to reconsider their hiring strategies, Rivers hypothesized that it is possible contract workers may emerge as a more financially sound hiring strategy as market volatility continues. Fintech solutions like management controls have been able to adapt to a fluctuating market, too, with Rivers pointing to the company's ability to ensure contractors are not financially penalized for having to take the time for health assessments while on site, or wielding data analytics capabilities to be able to pinpoint the location and movements of contractors should the need for coronavirus contact tracing arise. At the broader level, uncertainty about the strength of the market could lead businesses to rely on contractors more than permanent employees moving forward. While the tactic could save companies money and enable workforce sizes to ebb and flow with a company's need, the shift to contractors introduces an array of technical challenges that will force businesses to adjust how they measure productivity and compensate their professionals. In the potential new normal of a larger contractor pool, data analytics will be key to supporting a shifting workforce. I personally think we'll potentially see contracting numbers increase over time, said Rivers. Some companies let go of permanent employees, so in the short to medium term, they'll probably replace them with contractors. I don't know if that will be permanent, but you'll see a reshifting of the balance, and the coronavirus has highlighted the value of a flexible contractor workforce. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.